Good morning, and I too greet you in Jesus' name, and welcome. It's good to see you all here. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I will mention that I am taking Brother Edwin Eby's place. He was here on a rotating schedule, or scheduled to be here, but had some scheduling difficulties, and we were not able to rearrange anything else at this point, so I am covering this morning's sermon. A month or two ago, I took a message from verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the message was the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, having to do with spiritual conquest and the realities of that. This morning, I would like to look at another part of this, and that is the course of this world. Walked according to the course of this world. The sermon title is The Course of This World. Verse 3 also brings up the lust of the flesh, and so it's sort of those three, as I see it, that describe three major areas of our lives that we live in, that we struggle in, that we battle in. But this morning, we do talk about the lust of our flesh, or the struggle of our flesh. We do actually talk about that a good bit. But this morning, I'd like to focus our thoughts on this world, the thought of the world. What does it mean? And how are we to understand this? This word world, which is the Greek word, is cosmos, which we're familiar with that. That's a word that we use as well. And it's, you can understand it in at least two ways. One of them is the creation, as you think about what we can see of God's creation. That is the world. It's his created entity. It's the orderly arrangement of this world, the physical attributes of this world. And so that's definitely one understanding of the world. The second, and where we're going to spend our time today, is the way that the word world is used to speak of humanity, created beings, the human race, which is alienated from God. That is the status of this world. And so this morning, I want to spend our time thinking about that and how that affects us. Jesus said in John 14, verse 17, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So we're talking about a human race that they cannot understand God because they don't know him. They are not open to him. They're not in communication with him. They're not receiving the truth of God into their lives, and so they don't know him. He said also in John 15, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So again, we're seeing Jesus describing this situation that we live in today. We are in this world. As I mentioned, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. All mankind is bent unerringly towards the course of this world. That is our natural bent. It's towards the course of this world. As the scripture described, we were in the past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the flesh with the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This world. So, as I think about this world, and as I'd like to teach it this morning, is that this world is the collective force of the fallen. So it's not just one, it's many. And there is something about the collective that's powerful. And I think we do well to recognize that this morning. Let that soak into our minds. Just like there is power in the collective of the redeemed as they come together. Just like there's power in a good team, and you know, you understand that, and you develop those kinds of things in business. And obviously, if you're going to play volleyball, you develop that in that team. And so in the, there is power in the many, and things move forward in different ways when there's many. And so there is this collective force of the fallen, the collective force of those who are fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It's the combination of the many, the ability to communicate so efficiently and empower so thoroughly, the will of the collective. That's the world that we're in today. The ability to communicate and efficiently empower the will of the collective. And it's, I believe it's a sign of the end times. It is part of the end time where the possibilities for evil has become so global. Evil has existed to the depths of the extreme since the beginning of time. I wouldn't want to suggest, it is true that God did judge the world with a flood, and yes, he judged the world, all of humanity, because of the evil of their hearts was thorough, and it was evil continually, and so he judged that. So perhaps there was a depth there that we're still arriving to, but again, we come back to this thought that in the global community, communication, and possibilities, there is a collective power, a collective force that we're up against. I think this should be quite sobering to us, and I think a question we should ask ourselves is, do we have the correct level of concern about the corrosive and ungodly forces that we face around us? That's a question for myself. That's a question for my own life. It's a question that I'm raising here this morning for us as a collective body. Do we have the correct level of concern about these forces? You think about the multiplicity of books, of making of books, there is no end. Just information, podcasts, and in the ear of us as we listen to a new thing or whatever it is. And I appreciate good information, and I appreciate trying to understand things that I don't understand before. But it is part of this world. And the question is it for the, what force is it bringing to us? Information overload, just almost unending. Quite simply, I believe this morning, the heart of this sermon is that every Christian must decide what to do with the world. I think that's what Jesus was teaching. That's that's what he was raising as he taught us in the New Testament. And are we going to put up a battle? There's a question for us. Are we willing to, do we understand that I must personally push back against or be overcome by this world? It's one or the other. And so this morning, that's a challenge that I'd like to lay on the table this morning. Do we understand the concern and heart of Jesus when he prayed to the Father in John 17 and he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, period. And so Jesus' prayer there is, he's wrestling with the Father. His concern is about those who are going to come after him. And down through the ages, what has come to this age and this time, those who are coming after Christ. He said, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but just keep them from the evil that's in this world. And those are the areas we want to think about this morning. So what makes the world tick? What is the course of this world, as our title suggests? What is the way of this world? And I have about 7 points I want to move through and consider in this sermon. So the first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you would turn with me, we're going to look at a couple in 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to move on through Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. The first thing I want to notice this morning as far as a course or way of the world is that there is the spirit of this world. And I am going to draw a very simple drawing on the board. And it all... There's shortcomings in all of these different ways of trying to draw. Illustrate is the word I'm looking for. So I'll acknowledge that. But I would like to just maybe help us think about this. This rectangular box represents the world. And I'm going to simply draw a small circle here in the middle. And... this is God. Now, illustrations have their problems. God's bigger than this world. But I want to think about, we're going to use this as God and who he is. And we're thinking about the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world really ties into the thoughts from earlier a couple months ago about the spirit of this world, the spirit being Satan himself. And he is the ruler of this world. So Satan is in this world. He is the ruler of this world, Jesus said. And the prince of the power of the air. So those are attributes that we recognize that are part of this world. The spirit of this world. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. The evil spirit, the powers of darkness, are real. This is just a brief point, and I want us to recognize this again this morning. They are active, and they desire to take away men from the spirit of truth. And so let's never lose sight of that. This battle is playing out in this world, and it's real and it's personal. It is part of the course of this world. There's actually a spirit, thus Satan and his forces, and the collective of the evil men that are directing the course of this world. And they're having their way in this world. God's allowing those things. I don't understand all of that. But in man's free will and choices that they make, there is a world that's taking place here. There's a spirit of this world. And this spirit inspires and coaches mankind into deeper darkness, personally and collectively. And so men are inspired by other men who are doing evil things. And they become curious, they become tempted, and they'll go down into the same trough and gutter that other men have. And... they're drawn to that. That is the course of this world, the spirit of this world. So that is part of this world. That is part of the course of this world. Secondly, if you'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, we're talking about, first of all, the spirit. Secondly, the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. The wisdom of this world. This world is not bumping along in a vacuum. This isn't a big empty abyss. Men have been putting their minds to answering the God-given questions since the beginning of time. Where do I go after I die? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? And so they've been attempting to answer those questions. They have been writing, they have been debating, and as Jesus entered into a world that was full of religious systems are developed to answer this question. The Greeks had their philosophy. They loved it. They spent much time in developing that and keeping that alive and passing that on generationally. That was very important to them. The course of this world has wisdom in it. They have their wisdom. The world is attempting to create its own guiding light. This wisdom is of this world. The attempt to answer all the questions that I already mentioned that God has built into the heart of mankind has been the pursuit of the ages. And so this letter right here in Corinthians was Paul writing to the church there at Corinth, which was a Greek culture, and he's challenging them in this. The wisdom of this world, it was something that they loved. It was closer to them than the place of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so he was pushing back against that. And so this world remains intent on turning our hearts and minds away from God, the source of all truth. The course of this world, the way of this world, what drives this world is to turn us away from anything outside of this world and to find our answers here within it. We have the answers if we just engage properly, if we just free ourselves from any of the inhibitions of faith and those kinds of things, we'll be able to get to the source of light and truth. And they have been pursuing that for millennia. And that's what this world's about. The wisdom of this world. So that is the course of this world. That's what we're up against. That's what we see it, we hear it, and we feel it. And likely, because we're that needy, it has influenced us. You know, there's ways in which it has redirected our thinking. That's not right. I'm certain it has for me, and I hope that as I continue on in life, and that as the Spirit of truth, which God gives us, he has the answer here as well, but we're thinking about what we're up against. And I think we do well to recognize our own neediness. I recognize my neediness of better understanding, and that it is possible that I'm being influenced by the wisdom of this world. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. There's just hundreds of verses about the world. It's one of the things that makes it a little hard to look at the subject because there's so much that's said about it. So we're just going to go through and pick out some. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So we're just jumping into one verse. Obviously, there's a good bit going on here. It's talking about how we should live in this world. Paul's giving some advice even about marriage. And, you know, if you're married, that's fine, but it is going to make you more worldly. You're going to pay more attention to this world, you know, than the person who's free from those kind of obligations and can, that's what he's arguing here. But then you'll notice in verse 31, and he says, and they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness, he says. I would have you that you're free from this world. For the things that are of this world, I'm sorry, yes. For he that is married careth for the things that are of this world and how many he may please his wife. So obviously, yeah, well, that's a bigger discussion. But we're thinking about the way of the world here. The way of the world is they that use this world as not abusing it. The way of the world is to chase or to be in excess. That's the way of the world. I believe that's what he's saying here. It's not just the legitimate or necessary things of this world. This morning, we're in a worldly place. We're in this world. Everything about us is of this world, and we are using it for the purposes, you know. So whether we're riding in a car or we're riding in a chariot, they were all of this world. They're part of this creation, part of this world. And Paul's working through that here in helping us to understand that even the legitimate things of this world, like marriage, it's worldly. It's going to also call us away, or it's going to distract us away from a completely focused relationship on Jesus Christ. I believe that's what he's saying. He's also saying that the way of this world is to use it in excess. And so, if I may try, I'll just do a little bit more on this board. And that is, as we live in this world, and as we live our lives around who God is, we're in this world. And the way of this world is to get caught in excess, which pulls us away. And the space between God's perfect plan and his call upon our lives becomes broader. And if we continue in this word fashions means the short and fleeting movements of this world. The idea of like the show, the play, where the curtain's pulled back and it's this one scene and then the curtain's pulled back across and it's another scene and there's this movement and change. That's just the way it is. It's fleeting and it's short. And here we are, we get caught pursuing these things and these excesses of this world. It's what intrigues us. It's what we like. It's what's drawing us. And so it begins to take us away from God. That is the way of this world. The way of this world, the course of this world draws us away from God, period. The way of the world is not the necessary, but the excess. And it seems like the excess that seems like it must surround everything. It's not just a pair of work jeans. It's a pair of designer work jeans. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a car or a pickup that accomplishes the necessary work. It's, you know, it's the bling. My point is that that is... this, I believe that's what Paul's describing here, that they may use this world not as abusing it, where we get caught up in what you could call worldliness, where it actually becomes a way in which the world is capturing our hearts. And quite frankly, because we live so deeply in this world, to be fair, the world has captured our hearts in some area or another, probably for every one of us. There is some of these things. And we need to be kind to each other in our judgment of each other. But at the same time, this scripture is true, and we must recognize that we're up against a serious battle here. And at some point, that excess can... it can take us out into places that we don't want to be. And living in a world of excess in America, we probably have one of the greater challenges in this. However, the world over has the same pull, and they're living in the same world, and that does not change. So my point is, I guess I'll just say this, are we okay? And someone has helped me years ago with this thought of the common man. Are we okay with what would be represented in our world as not having that bling? It's what you would do to be necessary, like the necessary things to be able to accomplish what's necessary in this world. And so that can be a guiding light for us. So we use the things of this world that cause us generally, where it's not right or wrong issues. I'm just talking about the necessary things of life. We use the things of this world that cause us to blend in, not stand out. And so, you know, there's lots of different ways we can address this. And I know that we have excesses. And it's easy to point them out in other people where you might think, well, you know, I wouldn't feel right purchasing a $10,000 coffee maker on my counter. I mean, the $28, you know, Walmart special does fine for me. But I'm just saying that somewhere we're going to need to actually make this way of the world real in our lives, because it's there. It's real. And I believe that God cares about it very much. I believe Jesus has made some very strong statements about it, and Paul's bringing it out here as well. The point is, on this point, is that the way of the world is to excess. It's to abuse of necessary things. That's the way of the world, and we should be asking ourselves this morning, we love to play some sports, but where does that take us? We love physical exercise, but is that going to, you know, is that going to turn me into, you know, someone who just turns that into an idol? We need to make a living, but absolutely, where does that go into the abuse of this world? Fair enough. It's right there in front of us. So let's continue on to number 4. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and we'll just look at verse 12. Teaching us, well, let's start with verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Well, it sounds a lot like the last one, doesn't it? Well, actually, the point here is the lust of this world. The way of this world tends to excess was a point before it. But this is speaking about lust, improper desires. It's talking about, this verse is pointing out that this world gets caught in improper desires, consumed with improper desires, and also, you know, sensual indulgences, the desires and fulfillment of them, and that is the lusts that are being talked about. And the lusts of the world might have a little bit more of this kind of a track in our life. We're here, we're trying to, by God's grace, organize ourselves and bring our bodies into subjection and do those right things. But there's this thing that we're interested in. There's this thing that we're, this lust, and it can be money. It can be a whole host of things. It can be power. It can be sensual things and sexual things. Yes, it can be all those. And those things will get a grip on our lives, and they'll just take us on a track right on out of here. And it's lust. And I see that track being direct path away from the will of God in our lives. And that's what this world's made up of. This world is about, if it feels good, do it. And I know that it gets wrapped up in a lot of good packages sometimes, but when you peel back the packages, because of the neediness of men and women's hearts, there are some really ugly, dark places there. And they are fulfilling the lusts of the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that's where the world's at. That's what this world is. And it's a sinful and it's a dark place and it's an abusive place. And that's the world that we live in, the lusts of this world. And so every passion that is not brought into the lordship of Jesus Christ so that it can only be carried out and fulfilled in godly ways. So passion is a part of our lives, and it's what gets us up and gets us into our day, and we wake up with a cause and purpose in our hearts. But those passions can be turned towards lust and darkness, or they can be turned towards good and honorable things of God. as we live in this world and as we revolve around the world, around God's will for our lives. And so that's what we're called to do. Well, my next point is found in 2 Peter chapter 2. And these verses I read already this morning in our Sunday school class. We're thinking about, again, a very probably closely connected, but I'm thinking about, first of all, we just thought about the lusts of the world. And so those are our desires and passions that are, that the world and the pressures of the world would like to give a lot of opportunity for those to just go off the rails and go into lust and debauchery and sin and all of that. But now here in these verses, it's talking about the pollutants of the world. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. And verse 22 says they're like a dog that's gone back to the vomit. The pollutants and corruption of this world. This world isn't just sort of against God. It's a polluting, corrupting source against all that is pure and holy and right. It's darkness instead of light. And when I thought of pollutants, my mind went to Bangladesh, and I was just there not so long ago. But I have thought of it numerous times. I would love to go back up the main river that flows down through the center of Bangladesh and right there around Dhaka. When you look at that river and you think of all the pollutants that are just flowing freely into it, I'd love to go back up that river and up that river. Somewhere up into Nepal, you'd find some mountain ravines, and if you continue on up and on up, you get up to some ice caps, and right there is this water, and it's pure. It's just clear and clean, and it's cold, and I don't know how long it takes for that water to traverse from there to the Bay of Bengal, but somewhere in that process, it looks and smells very different. And that's what this world is. It is a polluting force against that which is pure and holy. That's what this verse is saying. The pollutants of the world. And there it is. That is the body that we are living in. And endeavoring to live our lives for God. And so there's so many sewers that are just open and running into this world. And so how are we doing? And, you know, what is communicative technology opening to us every day? Is it pure and good things? There's a trickle of pure and good things in lots of different places in this world. But generally, as the systems of this world go, there's a fire hose of pollutants. And even in the areas where good deeds are being done, many times there is a desire for acclamation and recognition. Think of our political public servants, those kinds of folks who, many good people, I'm not trying to put all in a box, but there's a great tendency to say, I'm doing these things, but you need to recognize I'm here and I want to go there. And those are the kind of, that's the kind of pollutants in so many different areas that just, and here we are, quite frankly, swimming in that world. And I think that should sober us. We forget. We do have many blessings. We have the blessing of this gathering that really does help us. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ on our lives. Those are first and foremost and primary. And then there's the blessing of our own school environment, which is huge because we're able to sort out so many fire hoses of of lies and ways in which children are being shaped today. It's just incredible. We have those blessings, but we must never forget we're still in this world. And we're going to be affected by it. We are being affected by it. Well, let's go to 1 John number 6, 1 John 2, verse 15. Well, here's some familiar verses, right? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Very instructive verses. I just want to pull out from here the things that are in the world. There are many things. All the pleasures, all the gadgets, all the tools. We love a new tool. You know, we design new tools. Whether it's software, whether it's hardware, they're things. This world is full of things. That's what this world is. It's a very tangible place. It's one of the reasons why we so naturally like it. And we do enjoy lots of wonderful things in this world. We enjoy life. By and large, we enjoy a pleasant life. And we have pleasant things around us. We have comfortable homes. We have comfortable beds. We have so many things. That's what this world is. This world is things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So, the opportunities of this world, there, and all of these, as I mentioned, things, they are manifold. They have an allure that is powerful. And so we have the opportunity to create space and enjoy what this world has to offer. And that's not all wrong. Because we live in this world. God's given us many things to richly enjoy. But that's where the snare is also. And we become obsessed with these things. We wouldn't want to lose these things. We couldn't think about living a life without these things. We're not willing to go and serve other places because of these things. We're not willing to just do the hard work of life without some of these things. They are very tricky. And God's telling us here to love not the world, neither the things. Don't get captivated and captured by them. And there's our challenge. There is our challenge. So may God help us with that. Finally, turn with me to 1 John 2, well, right here, in verse 17, right here, in verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This stuff will not last. These things will not last. This world will not last. This whole thing is going to be swept away. And it tells us in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Jesus had a lot to say about the world. We looked at very few verses, but Jesus did say, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus also said in John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What? I have overcome the world. I saw a few of you mouth it as well. I have overcome the world. I believe Steve brought up in the end of Sunday school, 1 John 5, 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Our faith in Jesus Christ is the victory that overcometh the world. It can be done. I believe we're doing it, but we've got a lot of wins. And there's a lot of unclean water that we're swimming in. And I just want us to be reminded of that, that we're going to need to, we're probably going to need to wake up. I mean, are we doing what needs to be done to pass on, yes, to help our rising generation around us? I'll remove pass on to help our rising generation around us know what it's like to overcome the world, to live successfully in this world. And there's a challenge for myself and a challenge for each one of us. Jesus prayed for us that we might be able to live in this world and overcome its pulls, overcome its powers, overcome its pollutants by the word of God and by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God's plan extends beyond this world. As big as it is, as serious as it is, before and after, his plan extends beyond the world. Praise God, we are part of that. We're in the arena this morning, and so let's put up a fight that is exemplary to those who come behind us. May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we fall down here before you this morning, Lord, and we recognize our need of you again today. Lord, we thank you for your word and how you instruct us and teach us from it. Almighty God, I pray that you would help us as we walk in this world. Lord, you know all about it. You're aware of our challenges. You're aware of our weaknesses, our shortcomings. And I pray that you would help us to be more sensitive to the pressures that this world's putting in upon us, the ways in which it's distracting us. I pray that you'd help us to show our young people, our youth, as they look on at this world and they see the dazzle and the glitter of it, I pray that you'd help us to show them a way forward that honors you, honors your word, and is a good place to live in. Lord, give us wisdom in that. Help us, Lord, as we walk throughout society and as we see people caught in these traps, I pray you'd help us to show them a better way to speak truth into their lives, to offer hope that they too can be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of God. So help us, O God, we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.